Blog Talk Radio.
On November 14th, here are the birthdays. Robert Fulton, American who invented the steamboat, and he tried to interest Napoleon. He went over to France and tried to interest him in the steamboat as a vehicle to invade England. Of course, Adolf Hitler planned that too, and you can see it in the Battle of Britain, great film. But anyway, Napoleon, for some reason, like Hitler, did not understand the sea, and all the battles that the French Navy had with the French Navy lost. Of course, the British had the great Admiral Horatio Nelson, who won the Battle of Trafalgar, but it cost him his life. Among the other, talking about veterans, since we're specializing and memorializing and focusing on veteran, military veterans of many countries. In 1842, Walter Williams was born. He was the last known survivor of the American Civil War. Great historian. We get a lot of ideas from this guy, Frederick Jackson Turner. Of course, he's now some controversial criticism of him. But, of course, that's academics, and we still have freedom of speech even in the academic world. In 1889, Jawaharlal Nehru was born, and he was one of the founders of modern India. He worked with Mahatma Gandhi. Incidentally, we do have a lot of rare interviews, as a matter of fact. We happened to encounter Mahatma Gandhi's nephew, and we will play that interview in due time. Anyway, Nehru's daughter, Indira, she was assassinated, and she also was thrown out of office. Some of these women can be really tough. And, of course, General Brigadier Ingalls, we discussed Indira and the lady that was in Bangladesh and Pakistan. Nehru tried to navigate a third course in the world. He didn't want to be aligned with either Russia or the United States. A New York Times correspondent who was in Russia, Harrison Salisbury, very distinguished man, was another New York Times correspondent in Russia, Walter Durrani, who Stalin had co-opted by giving him a bus boy or a valet, young boy, young man, a car, and all the vodka he could drink. And Walter Durante lied about Stalin's deliberate starvation of an estimated 30 million Ukrainians because they didn't want to join collective farms. Unfortunately, the New York Times got a Pulitzer for this fraud, and they had never returned it. It's one of the reasons why people are looking at the Pulitzer as being highly politicized and not worth bothering with it. It doesn't have the prestige that it once had. Among the other birthdays today, Barbara Hutton of the Woolworth dime store fortune. Remember the Woolworths, and they had their soda fountain counter, and they were known as Woolworths Five and Dime. Also, there was Cressage, and all of these stores have chains have gone out of business. But these were part of America in the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s and 60s. Great actor Brian Keith, born on this day. Great Russian, another Russian violinist, Leonid Kogan. A great soprano, Leonie Riznik. She covered a lot of roles and sang on many of the world's great opera stages, and she made many fine recordings. And then the current king of Jordan, Hussein Ibn Talha, his birthday today. Among the deaths today, we had Justinian, who was a lawgiver. He would have been 82. He was 82 years old. He was probably the longest living Roman emperor. Booker T. Washington didn't live that long. Booker T. Washington had dinner with Teddy Roosevelt in the White House when Roosevelt was in the White House, and Booker tried to get Roosevelt interested in giving the Negroes their civil rights. But Teddy Roosevelt was a racist. He referred to the Chinese as a goddamn dirty Chinese and the Japanese a plucky little Japs. And this is one of the reasons, this racist attitude of Teddy Roosevelt is one of the reasons why he intervened in the Russo-Japanese War, because he didn't like seeing a white nation, Russia, having its butt kicked by a dark nation, the Japanese. And he also got a Pulitzer Prize. Not only that, he went to when he went to Norway, there was a piece of music written to honor him, and we have that in our archives. Another person, great director, he did Tom Jones, and he's the father of Natasha Richardson. Tony Richardson died. He died of AIDS. We don't know how he got it. Among the events today, in 1732, George Vancouver explored the Pacific West Coast. Now, there's a mistake there. Francis Drake was the first one to sail into San Francisco Bay, the English-speaking, and then Vancouver came later. Now, Vancouver, there's two Vancouvers on the West Coast, Vancouver, Washington, which is in the United States, and Vancouver, British Columbia, and they must have a hell of a postage and mailing problem. In 1821, Moby Dick was written. We had in 1881, the second president was assassinated, and that was Garfield, and he was also a Civil War veteran and hero. And he was the guy that killed him was Charles Guccio. And Teddy Roosevelt in 1906 was the first president to visit a foreign country. He went to, I think, Colombia. And or Nicaragua, one of the two. Anyway, Harding later went to Canada. That's interesting. And Lincoln was supposed to take a foreign trip, but he never, because he had the Civil War. The only foreign trip that he wanted to deal with was getting Jefferson Davis to stop the Civil War and to come back into the Union. In 1910, the first airplane flew off a U.S. Ship. It was an improvisation, and it happened here, supposedly in San Francisco Bay. 1918, this has all changed now. Czechoslovakia, which was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Czechoslovakia, which is Slovenia, Moldavia, I forgot the other one. Anyway, they became one, and under Jan Masaryk, and he had a son who was later also a prime minister and who was reportedly committed suicide by jumping out a window, but they think he had an assist from Stalin's secret police in 1948. And Czechoslovakia was one of the countries in the behind the Iron Curtain, and we'll get to General Patton and his role in after World War II in Czechoslovakia. In 1935, the Philippines was granted Commonwealth status, and then they were supposed to become independent, but the war intervened, and they didn't become independent until 1946. And in 1940, Coventry was bombed by the Luftwaffe. The British had the Enigma, and they could decode all the German military communications, and they knew that Coventry was going to be bombed, but Churchill decided that he could not alert the English population in Coventry because that would have tipped off to the Germans that they had been compromised and that the British had the Enigma machine and was reading all their mail and their correspondence. Now, this is also this is also supposed to be the birthday of Prince Charles, who supposedly was going to step aside for his son, Prince William, but Camilla thinks that she should be queen and, from what I understand, doing everything she can to sit on the throne after Elizabeth. But I understand Elizabeth told her to mind her place or she'd be cut off. Now, among the other things we have in our archives was when the Viennese Riding Academy horses, the Lipizzaners, were here in San Francisco, I did get an exclusive interview with Captain Helmsberger, who was in charge of the Spanish Riding Academy then. And we did an extensive interview, an exclusive, but I got into General Patton, and here's an excerpt from that extended interview.
The Lipizzaners were not so involved in famous events, but they always were used as riding horses and driving horses for the imperial family in Austria. But anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about this very big event that happened in the last weeks of the Second World War. You must know that during this time, by the German government, a big Lipizzaner stud farm was established in Hostau. At this time, they decided to collect all Lipizzaner horses spread over Europe, and you must know that there was a big number of Lipizzaner stud farms in Romania and in Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia and Italy and in Austria. In that place in Czechoslovakia called Hostau, and when the Germans had to go back, Hostau was in the situation that the Soviet army was soon, and it was the idea of the Americans in agreement, in cooperation with the German director of the Stadtfarm, who was Lieutenant Colonel Rudowski at this time, to save these horses. And against the Treaty of Yalta that said that this part of Czechoslovakia only is allowed to be touched by Russians, the American troops, and it was the 2nd Cavalry under the Colonel Reed, who was the commander of this battle group, under the order of General Patton, who was the commanding general, went to Hostau and moved in several transport all those, these were approximately, I think, 1,000 mares, colts, and fillies, into the American zone. And the second thing was that these horses then were selected by representatives of the original states from where they were coming. These men selected their horses on account of the different brands and marks, and then the horses went back to their original homelands. And if this wouldn't have been done by the American army, we can convince that this race wouldn't exist. Because only with the stallions we had still in the American zone, because Podolsky, who was the commander in these days, brought the Lipizzan stallions from Vienna to Upper Austria, where the Americans were at this time.
Now, as I said, at the end of that interview, it was a long interview. This is my ending quote. The Lipizzaners are to horses what the Vienna choir boys are to music. Now, I have the full interview. I think it's a half hour, and we'll play that another day. Now, a lot of controversy about Obama being the first black president, African president, the Negro president. Of course, you don't use that term. But when Harding was an editor, the 1920 election was the only election in American history where all three candidates, none of them were lawyers, thank God, and all of them were in the media business. Harding and Cox were from Ohio. They were both newspaper publishers. And then there was a third a candidate who was a journalist with the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it was also the first election in which the returns were broadcast over the radio. But Harding, throughout his political career, he was a senator, and Teddy Roosevelt's daughter called him a slob. He liked smoking cigars and bourbon and poker and all that. And he was accused of having Negro heritage. And what he said, I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence. Now, reportedly, in the Harding Library, and there's been a lot of ancestral research, the Harding's cousins are all black. So, what does it matter? I don't want to use that phrase because Hillary's using that. But, Harding was a very interesting president. Harding established the Bureau of the Budget, and he set up the first media office in the White House. It's quite interesting. So, he's the author of that phrase, "Ask what you can do for your country." It was not John F. Kennedy. And here's a little episode, an audio excerpt, Harding talking about military veterans.
There grows on me the realization of the unusual character of this occasion. Our republic has been at war before. It has asked and received the supreme sacrifices of its sons and daughters, and faith in America has been justified. Many sons and daughters made the sublime offer, went to hallowed graves as the nation's defenders. But we never before sent so many to battle under the flag in a foreign land. Never before was there the impressive spectacle of thousands of dead returning to find eternal resting place in the beloved homeland. The incident is without parallel in the history that I know. These dead know nothing of our ceremonies today. They sense nothing of the sentiment or the tenderness which brings their wasted bodies to the homeland for burial, close to kin and friends and cherished associations. These poor bodies are but the clay tenements once possessed of souls with flame and patriotic devotion. Lighted new hopes on the battlegrounds of civilization, and in their sacrifices, fed on to accuse autocracy before the court of eternal justice. We are not met for them, though we love and honor and speak a grateful tribute. It would be futile to speak to those who do not hear, or to sorrow for those who cannot sense it, or to exalt those who cannot know. But we can speak for country. We can reach those who sorrowed and sacrificed through their service, who suffered through their going, who glory with the Republic through their heroic achievements, who rejoice in the civilization their heroism preserves. Every funeral, every memorial, every tribute is to the living, an offering in compensation of sorrow. When the light of life goes out, there's a new radiance in eternity. Somehow the glow of it leaves the darkness which is left behind. Never a death, but somewhere a new life. Never a sacrifice, but somewhere an atonement. Never a service, but somewhere, somehow an achievement. These have served, which is the supreme inspiration in living. They have earned everlasting gratitude, which is the supreme solace in dying. No one may measure the vast and varied affections and sorrows centering on this priceless cargo of bodies, once living, fighting for and finally dying for the Republic. One's words fail, his understanding is halted, his emotions is occurs beyond control when contemplating these thousands of beloved dead. I find 100,000 sorrows touching my heart. There's ringing in my ears like an admonition eternal, an insistent call. It must not be again. It must not be again. God grant that it will not be. And let a practical people join in cooperation with God to the end that it shall not be. I would not wish a nation for which men are not willing to fight and if need be to die. But I do wish for a nation where it's not necessary to ask that sacrifice. I do not pretend that millennial days have come, but I can believe in the possibility of a nation being so righteous as never to make a war of conquest, and a nation so powerful in righteousness that none will dare invoke a lie. I wish for us such an America. These heroes were sacrificed in the supreme conflict of all human history. They saw democracy challenged and defended it. They saw civilization threatened and rescued it. They saw America affronted and resented it. They saw our nation's rights imperiled and stamped those rights with a new sanctity and renewed security. We shall not forget, no matter whether they lie amid the sweetness and the bloom of the homeland or sleep in the soil they crimson, our mindfulness, our gratitude, our reverence shall be in the preserved republic, the maintained liberties, and the supreme justice for which they died.
Well, that Harding had a great voice. Now, there, as I said, if you listen to the key phrase, homeland, it originates with Harding, who was an editor and a publisher of an Ohio newspaper. He did this awful malapropism, return to normalcy. It's normality, and we still hear that today. And, of course, he was for putting America first, and also after World War One, his administration started the Washington Disarmament Convention, which tried to outlaw war, and they started with working with the world's leaders of the world's navies, where it was called 553, that the British and the Americans were allowed to have five ships, the French and the Japanese were allowed to have three. And Admiral Yamamoto, he was a captain at the time, he had attended Harvard, he was a brilliant Japanese naval strategist, and he remarked, just because I'm smaller, does that mean I should have less? It's very interesting, very sharp guy. And he was the architect of the attack on Pearl Harbor, incidentally. Nancy Pelosi is the U.S. representative from San Francisco. She's in Congress, unfortunately. And there's a lot of controversy with this woman. Anyway, she has she was one of the big promoters of Obamacare, very controversial even when she was promoting it. And she quoted this guy Gruber, who had developed Romney Care for Massachusetts. Now, after Gruber has said Americans were stupid, and this was played upon by Obama to pass Obamacare, there's a lot of questions about that was done. It did. All money bills are supposed to start in the U.S. House of Representatives, and it's surprising that she ignores this. This is part of the Constitution. This deal was done after midnight in the U.S. Senate, Harry Reid and that crowd. Anyway, there's a question about even the legality of it, because the money bill, which Obamacare is, did not start in the House of Representatives, nor was it passed there. But anyway, now she's claiming that she doesn't know Gruber, and you know, she's going to probably say she misspoke. That'll be the next thing. Talking about political fraud, Larry Sabato, who's a commentator and professor, I think, at Virginia University, he's frequently quoted and featured on the media, and he has raised the issue about polling fraud, and I brought this up several times, especially with the field poll out here and other polls. Whenever we ask them the questions, where, you know, who did you ask, who wrote the polling questions, how did you select the polling sample, population sample to be polled, who checked the polling responses, and who paid for it? No response. So So, you know, that's suspicious right there. Anyway, it's beginning, people are beginning to think that, you know, something's wrong here. So, excuse me. As I always said, what Stalin, quoting Joseph Stalin, who said, the guy who controls, who counts the votes is the guy who controls the election. And that is so true. Anyway, we will be back Monday, and we'll try to be hopefully have all these things resolved with new equipment and all. And we will have continue with music and John Philip Sousa and from our archives and other marches and things written for military personalities. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Have a safe weekend. And excuse me. And go to our Amicus Veritas website and AMICUSVERITAS. And if you're going to eat pizza, watch how it's made. Make sure these people have sanitary practices. They're using gloves when they mix pizza cheeses, when they're making the dough. You don't know if they don't have gloves on whether their fingernails are clean, if they've washed their hands after they've gone to the toilet, or they've washed their hands after they've blown their nose. We've got some videos, some things that are going to shock you. And we're waiting to hear from this corporation's executive of these unsanitary practices, especially in the age of Ebola, West Nile disease, virus, excuse me, a resurgence of tuberculosis. We've got AIDS, all these other diseases are becoming rampant. And, you know, we thought we had that under control, plus the usual flu. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and stay safe and pay attention to where, if you're going out to eat or buy pizza, things like that, watch how it's made.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Johnny, what
are
you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, spat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot race.
Battle.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
Raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale? Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Good night, folks. Have a safe weekend and watch these people who prepare your food, whether you're going out to eat or you've got takeout. Make sure they're wearing gloves and they practice sanitary practices in food processing industry. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERTAS. We will be back Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hopefully it won't be any snafus. So stay safe and watch your food. Good night.